This is the Aspen Public Radio Newscast. I'm your host, Megan Tackett, here with your top stories this Monday. The Glenwood City Council will consider making changes to its contract with a camera surveillance company called Flock Safety. That's after local residents concerned about data privacy and other civil liberties asked the city to stop using the cameras. Eleanor Bennett has the latest.
Glenwood police use Flock cameras to track cars and solve crimes like stolen vehicles and missing people. The city owns the data and says it only shares it with law enforcement agencies in Colorado, but its contract with Flock allows the company to share this data with third parties like the federal government in certain cases. And that concerns some residents who worry the data could be used for things like immigration enforcement. At a work session last week, Flock representative Kyle Tennant told city councilors the company is open to changing parts of its contract.
We do redline existing contracts to include special language. There is a process back in that.
The city council is planning to review possible revisions to its Flock contract in a public meeting next month. The changes could include limiting the company's ability to share the city's data and shortening the amount of time the data is stored. For Aspen Public Radio and Aspen Journalism, I'm Eleanor Bennett.
In response to residents' concerns, Glenwood has also created a new public information page on its website about how Flock cameras are used in the city. The Winter Olympics have been criticized for making an Italian oil company a, quote, premier partner of the Games. Athletes and climate activists argue that it's irresponsible, given the oil industry's role in threatening the future of winter sports. Aspen Public Radio's Michael Finelli has more.
A cohort of athletes and advocates delivered a petition to the International Olympic Committee last week, urging it to stop taking sponsorships from fossil fuel companies. 12 of those Olympic competitors are partnered with Protect Our Winters, or POW, a Colorado nonprofit that amplifies athlete voices for climate action. The Olympics have drawn criticism for the environmental impact of building new infrastructure and making tons of fake snow. But Aaron Sprague, POW's CEO, says that's missing the point.
A lot of people ask me about whether the Olympic Games are sustainable or not. And that's the wrong question, because fossil fuel companies produce hundreds of times more carbon pollution than any single Olympic Games.
As Colorado deals with a historically low snowpack year, research has shown the West faces a little to no snow future based on current emissions trends. Sprague says to avoid that future, we need to stop burning fossil fuels. And taking away the positive associations people have with the companies that sell those fossil fuels is a good place to start. For Aspen Public Radio News, I'm Michael Finelli.
In statewide news, starting next year, Colorado will participate in a new federal program to help parents pay for private religious schools. The money could potentially also be used by families for school fees and extracurricular programs. CPR's Jenny Brundin has more.
Depending on who you talk to, this is either a voucher program or a scholarship program. But the bottom line is that families with children between kindergarten and 12th grade could apply for this money to help cover eligible expenses. There is an income cap, so to qualify, a family can make no more than 300% of the area median income. And that's a pretty high limit. In Denver, a family of four making $300,000 a year would still be eligible.
That was CPR's Jenny Brundin. A proposal to make more farmers and ranchers eligible for a tax break passed unanimously in the state Senate last week. Ray Solomon reports for the Colorado Capital News Alliance.
Colorado has a special tax break on property used as pasture land for cattle and sheep grazing. The bill would expand tax relief to include land used to graze other animals, like chickens and pigs. Democratic Senator Dylan Roberts sponsored the bill and says it will help small producers and family farms struggling as the agricultural industry consolidates.
They're trying to diversify their product and their livestock based on local demands and the feasibility of farming and ranching and with the current climate and lack of water and things like that.
According to U.S. Department of Agriculture data, Colorado leads the nation in farmland lost to development.
That was Ray Solomon for the Colorado Capital News Alliance. And in regional news, this winter's snow drought is shaping up to be the worst on record for the Upper Colorado River Basin. The water stored in snowpack is at 60% of normal above Lake Powell. Rocky Mountain Community Radio's Caroline Yanes has more.
Forecasters are predicting that even if we get above average snow in the next 2 months, we'll still end the winter with below average snowpack. Seth Arns, a scientist with the Western Water Assessment, says communities in the West will really start feeling the impacts when they get to spring and summer.
Thinking about water deliveries, wildfire, agricultural impacts, water shortages.
He says many communities and water users are planning for the worst case scenario.
What if this year continues to go as badly as it could go? And then what if we have drought for another 2 or 3 years after that? Then what sort of conditions are we facing?
Arns says we'll know more in the next month or so about how much water in the snowpack will actually make it into rivers and streams. Caroline Yanez, Rocky Mountain Community Radio.
More states in the Mountain West are creating housing funds to address affordability crises. Hannah Mertzbach reports that could soon include Wyoming.
Since 2012, Colorado has been using its fund to provide low-interest loans to developers building or remodeling housing. And more recently, in 2022, Idaho put $50 million federal dollars towards a workforce housing fund. Wyoming State Representative Trace Sherwood, who's sponsoring the bill, says she wants $30 million state dollars so local governments and nonprofits can apply for loans and customize projects for groups like firefighters or healthcare providers.
Or if a community's like, you know what, we need senior housing that's affordable, then they can do that.
The Democrat has struggled to get similar bills passed by the Republican supermajority in the past, many of whom think government shouldn't play a role in creating housing. Mississippi is the only other state without a housing fund. For the Mountain West News Bureau, I'm Hannah Mersbach.
The Pro Rodeo Hall of Fame and Museum is leaving Colorado and headed to Wyoming. For the Mountain West News Bureau, Tony Gorman reports.
The Professional Rodeo Cowboys Association Board of Directors approved a non-binding memorandum of understanding to seriously consider moving the Pro Rodeo Hall of Fame and Museum to Cheyenne, Wyoming. A development group from the city approached the organization with a relocation proposal last year. The PRCA cited the city's plan to build an administrative building to house its headquarters and no state income tax as reasons for the move. The Pro Rodeo Hall of Fame and Museum has called Colorado Springs home since 1979. The anticipated move is set for 2029.
That was Tony Gorman for the Mountain West News Bureau. The Aspen Public Radio newscast is produced by our team. News director Hallie Zander, reporters Reagan Mertz, Sarah Torrey, Michael Finelli, and me, your host, Megan Tackett. Our contributing reporters include Eleanor Bennett, Josie Taris, and Lucy Peterson. You can listen to the show every weekday morning on our website or wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for listening, and see you next time.